what we're going to be discussing today is hell. And we're not going to do an exhaustive survey on hell, but we're going to get into it. And there's a lot to be said on hell. August, could you do this? And thanks to my wonderful wife who has that gift of teaching, I have a handout. And the one place you turn to in your Bible to get ready to teach on hell, I'd say the good place to put your Bible to get started is Revelation chapter 20. And so that's where my Bible is sitting right now. But we'll go ahead and get started on this. Now, the list that you guys are getting out there is just a breakdown of the English word hell and how many times it occurs and it is used in the New and the Old Testament, and then some of the other variations of words referring to hell. And it's not totally exhaustive. It is just a beginning to what the Bible teaches and says about hell. Hell is one of the foundational doctrines of the gospel. Hell is necessary. And I just want to show you what the scriptures say about hell and what, believe it or not, you already knew about hell before you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, the English word hell, it occurs 54 times in the King James Version translation, translating the Hebrew and the Greek. The English word hell. This English word, pretty much everyone, whether you're saved, whether you're not, whether you're out in the world, you're not at church today, or you're not a churchgoer, you're an atheist, whatever the case may be, everyone knows hell. Everyone has an idea of it. So much so that it is used as a slang. It is thrown at each other. I'll say this in reverence with the fear of the Lord, but because of the authority I have today being behind this pulpit, in this pillar and ground of the truth, the local church, with the Word of God before me, I can say that the word hell is often used as a slang such as, go to hell. Why is that? Well, that's because everybody knows what it is. It is not a mystery. Hell is basically separation from God, but really what it is, it's separation from His mercy and His grace. You see, God's everywhere. He's omnipresent, so He's in hell. But what it is separation from God, no more mercy, no more grace. That's really what it is. And you'll have a degree of that occur in the seven-year tribulation, where His mercy and grace will be taken away. So hell is a real place. It's a place that all of us are familiar with before we were saved and was necessary in us getting saved. Necessary. And I think that goes unseen. And that's really the purpose of why I wanted to teach this. So many churches, so many, the majority, the vast majority, I've got to think that at least 95% of your churches out there do not preach hell. They don't. Think about that. Yet hell is why you got saved. You see, hell is the consequence of sin. And 95% of the churches out there aren't preaching repentance. From what? Sin. But my children, when they got saved at a young age, they didn't know all the specific sins that they were turning from and this, that, and the other thing. they knew that they were going to hell. They were afraid. That's the fear of the Lord. They were afraid of that. And so, in turn, they knew why they were going to hell, because they knew they were sinners. They had been spanked enough to know it. But they associated their sin with a consequence. And it's this hell that is the consequence of your sin. And it's where you didn't want to go. So you recognized a Savior who was able to save you from hell. Why? Because you were a sinner. You knew it. And you knew the consequences of sin was death. And so, in turn, you associated death. What's the word death there mean? It's hell. So it's a very real place. It's a very real word. Though everybody knows about it, they throw it around casually. But churches don't even preach on it. And I just find it fascinating. So I decided, you know what? We're going to talk about hell. So hell occurs 54 times in the King James Version, translating the Hebrew and the Greek. In the Old Testament, Sheol is the word for hell. It occurs 31 times, esh, as hell, translated. Another 31 times, Sheol is translated as grave. Still a place going down. And another 3 times as pit. So you have just the word itself associating with some form of negative hell, pit, grave, 65 times in the Old Testament. That's a lot. But that's not to mention the other words that mean hell in their context, and you have to actually derive it as you're studying the Word of God to get context. So hell is everywhere. Hell is everywhere. Remember, in the garden, Satan said, surely you will not die. What did die mean? As early as Adam and Eve, there was hell. So please, understand that every day you wake up as a Christian, what are you doing? I know what I'm doing. Lord, thank you for my salvation from hell. Amen. I think of it every day. I get to go to heaven. Do you think of that? Do you think of hell? Where you could be going? You see, my father is in hell. That's where he is. And anyone you know who hasn't trusted Jesus Christ, they're there in hell. And so also in the Old Testament, there is the word Hades. I'm sorry, the New Testament. The word Hades occurs 10 times in the New Testament. That's the Greek. It occurs as hell, and one time as grave. So Old Testament, 65 times, hell or grave or pit. New Testament, Hades is your Greek word, 10 times as hell, and one time as grave. Gehenna is another Greek word in the New Testament. It occurs 9 times as hell, and 3 times as hell fire. So Sheol and Hades refers to the place of the deceased, either body, and when it's body, it's used as grave or pit. And then when it's used as spiritual, it's used as hell, which is an interesting concept, an interesting way to look at hell. Grave, pit. That means physical body going down into the grave, going sucked up into the pit, the bottomless pit. Whereas hell, when you're reading about hell, when it's translated as the word hell, it has something to do with spirituality. You're going, because of God's judgment, you're going to hell. And you'll see this as we go through these verses. Old and New Testament saints' physical bodies, this is the Old and the New Testament saints, their physical bodies go into the grave. New Testament saints' bodies will be resurrected at either the rapture for the New Testament saint or at the beginning of the millennial kingdom for the Old Testament saint. So when you're seeing this into the grave, into the pit, whatever the case may be, if it's into the grave that you're going to, that's your physical body. It's going into the grave someday to be resurrected either unto salvation or unto damnation, to be united with your soul, because we are a soul. Genesis reveals that the soul is both spiritual and physical. That we are a soul. So, understand that when you're reading about hell and where people are going and where their bodies are going and where their spirits are going, there is a lot of timeline, theology, separation around this word hell. The study is very interesting, and it helps you to understand the whole of Scripture, and that's why I want to do this. You see, my father, who's in hell, his body is right now in Newington, he's cremated, but he's still there. And his spirit went into Sheol. Hades. He has now been given a temporary body. Because remember, the soul is spirit and body. That's what Genesis says. First mention, Genesis, soul and body. I mean, a body and spirit, soul. So you have a temporary body. The saints that are in heaven, that are saved, and their bodies are still here on earth, buried in that ground, they are combined with a temporary body. They are given by the Lord a temporary house. At the rapture, your bodies will come up in resurrection unto salvation and be joined in the air. You will finally have your resurrected body. This is a great theology. Nobody teaches this. No churches teach this. And if this is brand new to you today, study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't come to the pastor or to the church that teaches this great truth and say, well, that's not what I know. The only reason you don't know it is because you're in one of the 95% of the churches. We stand on the Word of God. We divide it rightfully. Any of the doctrines that you espouse to better not break down other doctrines. You better come to it rightfully so. And that's what you need to do when studying the word hell, because it is pivotal to salvation. So Sheol, in the Old Testament, the word hell, let's take a look at one of them. Deuteronomy 32:22. It's a tough subject to teach on because it's so extensive. It has so much theology tied to it. Not only resurrection to the body, soul, spirit, all of that, which is huge, but it has everything pivoting on it. 32:22 says, "For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." So hell is down. It's a fire. It's hot. And it says here it'll burn in the lowest parts of hell. Hell is real. Hell is here. Hell is now. And for us, it's underneath us, at the very center of God's creation. The earth is the focal point of God's creation. God's focus is on the focus of God's interest is on earth. And at the very center of that is hell. Think of that. How foundational is hell to our salvation? Also, if you take a look for Sheol, as it's referred to as grave, take a look at Psalm 6 and verse 5. Psalm 6 in verse 5 says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim, and I water my couch with my tears. Thank you. 5-5. 6-5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? If you remember the context of Psalm 6, David is mournful, mournful unto tears. He is regretful. Remember? And then at the end of Psalm 6, the Lord hears David's prayer, and David knows it, and it gives him victory. And Psalm 6 ends in a triumphant victory of God's judgment on those that oppress David. But what David is saying here in verse 5 is that, Lord, how will you use me if you kill me and put me in the grave? I want you to use me so that I can do your will. Don't kill me and put me in the grave. David wasn't going to go to hell. He was going to go, he's fearful of dying, going into the grave. But this word grave is the same word Sheol, which is translated hell in other areas. It is context that drives everything. So we approach hell the same way we would approach wine. Wine is to be judged in its context. We know the scriptures are very clear that we should not drink alcohol. Period. Very clear. How many verses do we have that say, don't drink it? And then people think, well, this one says moderation. No. No. What you're doing is you're taking the Bible out of context. So we need to approach the word Sheol in the same way. And that's what the King James translators did. They approached the word hell in its context and applied grave and pit where needed and hell where needed. Now, there's an attack on the word hell. There's a satanic attack on the word hell. The first attack is when someone says, go to hell. Because that makes hell seem not such a big deal. It's used flippantly and it's thrown around. That's a satanic attack. In addition to that, the NIV changes the word hell. It doesn't appear. It's grave. Why is that? Why is that? That's why our good friend Harold Davidson called them the perverted versions. Because they came from an improper text, first of all, and that's another teaching in and of itself. But then on top of that, they want to soften sin. This is what we're talking about. Hell is very important and should be preached about often. We preached and taught it in our house with devotions regularly. And I have to say that I think every single one of you guys, I have three of my kids here, one's in New York, they've all got saved from not wanting to go there. And that is valuable. Hell's valuable, especially for children. Don't be afraid to teach your children about this terrible, terrible judgment of hell, which is God. Fearing God on this level is good. Preach it. Now, in the New Testament, it appears as the word Hades in the Greek, hell. Go over to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, I want to take a look at verse 31. Verse 31, Acts chapter 2, verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Jesus Christ went to hell. Hades also occurs in 1 Corinthians 15:55. If you turn over to there. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death and grave. What are we talking about there? Where's your sting now? What are we talking about there? We're talking about hell. This word and this concept, this theology of hell is everywhere. It's throughout the scripture. It's not only in the translation of the word hell, it's in grave, it's in sting, it's in death, it's in fire, it's in this, it's in that. It's everywhere. It is pivotal as a tool that God has taught us from His Word to lead us unto repentance of the reason we're going to hell. And that is because of our sin. We say we're sorry of our sin because we don't want the consequences of hell. That's what it is. How many times have my children sinned and they knew a spanking was coming? And they said, Dad, I'm so sorry. And I would tell them, what, honey? We would tell them, you're not sorry. You are afraid of the spanking. That's what it is. For the unsaved, hell is a reality. It's real to everybody in the sense that they know about it. But they're not afraid of it. They're not afraid. It's like the fool. You can't spank the fool out of him. You can't, because he's not afraid of the spanking. He's a rebel. All right, so Hebrew word sheol, translated hell, the world of the dead is basically your meaning here behind that word sheol in the Hebrew. The world of the dead, as if a subterranean retreat, including its accessories and inmates. That's our Strong's definition being brought out there. It also gives us grave. Grave, hell, pit. If you turn over, let's see here, turn over to Job 11. Job 11. I had so many references that I could use. This preparation for this sermon was so difficult because of the organizing it. It's so hard because the Bible is just all about it. So trying to organize it for me and not the gift of teaching, and I'm prophecy. I want to put forth a truth. Trying to tell you about hell, it goes everywhere. And to keep it in organized fashion, it was daunting. So praise the Lord for my wife and helping me put all these concepts together. 11:7 says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? You see, this is Zophar. He shows the contrast between God's greatness through his creation and man's wickedness. This is one of Job's really good friends, giving him biblical advice, but in the wrong context. Okay, that's what we have here in our context of this area of Job. Verse 8 says, is it as high as heaven? What canst thou do? Deeper than hell? What canst thou know? So what is being taught by God here under inspiration, Job's friend Zophar, what's being taught is hell is very deep and heaven's very high. And there's a big difference between the two of them. Hell and heaven. Turn over to Psalm 9. This is good also. Psalm 9. Psalm 9:17. it shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. Wow. We haven't gotten to Matthew 7 yet, where wide is the way, but narrow is the door. Think about this. Look at this. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. Those nations that forgot God will perish, what? Eternally. Forever and ever they will burn in the lake of fire. Think about that. Think about that. Are you saved today? Did you know that you're one of the foolish, weak, and base? Did you know that you're a small remnant? Think about that. This is sad. Hell is real. It's down there. And in temporary bodies, spirits, a soul, are burning right now and are in torment. And you just can't grab that, can you? It was enough to get you saved. Okay? And the Lord has changed our lives. For us who have the indwelling Holy Spirit, our life has changed. I got saved at 43. I went from darkness big time into light. And it has changed me as a person. It is real. My fear of hell was real. And it was basically me recognizing I was a sinner. And I was going to hell because of it. That's how it works. Turn over to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. I'm going to pull off what our pastor does. Turn over to Proverbs 15, but I won't tell you the verse. That way I can get there before you. Proverbs 15 in verse 24 says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." There we go. Hell is down, and heaven is up. So the Hebrew word sheol, translated also as grave, it is translated as grave. Let's look at an example here. Turn over to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. This is the word grave. Genesis 37, and I want to look at verses 32 through 35. And this is Joseph in the coat of many colors, and this is Jacob receiving news from his brothers that he is dead. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be by thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned of his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. His father told them that until the day I die and you bury my body in the grave, I will mourn for my son. That is the word sheol in the Old Testament being interpreted grave. The King James translators knew what they were doing when they translated the Hebrew and the Greek. You can see the clear context here. The same word that's used for hell, used for grave. Turn over to 1 Samuel. And you can do this too when you're reading an NIV. 1 Samuel, go to 2. 1 Samuel 2. First Samuel 2 and verse 6 says, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. dare I say that this is resurrection? This is resurrection in the Old Testament. The Old Testament saint believed in the resurrection. They knew that they would be resurrected. But they said their bodies are going to go into the grave. But someday it's going to come out. That's resurrection unto salvation and resurrection unto damnation. So the Hebrew word sheol is also translated as pit. So let's look over at number 16. Number 16, verse 29 through 33. Number 16, verse 29 says, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking of all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. If you remember the context of this area of the book of Numbers, this is where Korah himself did not want to follow God's man, Moses. He said, why not one of us? And God answered Moses' prayer. And he opened up the earth, and he swallowed up Korah and all of his followers. And what happened? They went down into the pit. The earth opened up. It swallowed them. And this is going to lead to teaching that I'll get into, obviously, next week, because I get to do this again next week on hell. We're going to talk about the bottomless pit. Literally, for me, this was exciting. I remember as a young Christian when I was taught this. There is literally an opening, a place that leads to hell, that the Lord has opened up, and they go down through this cylindrical type thing that is the bottomless pit to Hades, hell. It exists. It's real. It swallowed up Korah. Where do you think he went? And we have verses, plenty of verses, showing the fire and the smoke and how it blackened the sky. And we have descriptions of hell and the passage to hell throughout the scripture. And so in the New Testament, we'll jump over there for a bit. Wait a second. I want to go to one more place here. Job 17. Let's turn over to Job 17. One more place, because this leads to another teaching. Job 17. Okay, so Job 17 and verse 14, it says, I have said to corruption, thou art my father, to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. And so this translation of the word sheol shows again pit going down into the earth. But what he's doing here is he's showing this translation of sheol showing dust to dust, which we get out of Genesis. As you know, in Genesis 3:19, we come from and we go back to the dust. So put together soul, physical body, spirit. What these words are translating out as it comes through this study that we'll do is grave, pit. It's physical. It's about going down into the ground, either in a permanent, either the pit going all the way down into hell, but still the earth opening up, pit, physical, grave, physical, or the word hell, spiritual. And that separation in translation by the King James translators was very interesting to me. That was very interesting. And so the word hell occurs 23 times in the New Testament. It's the Greek word Hades. And Hades means a place, state of departed souls. Grave. Hell is the last two words of that translation. 10 times it appears as hell. Matthew 16 is a good place to look at it. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16. What verse do you guys think I'm going to give? Right, Daryl? What verse am I going to? Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I want you to think of this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is fascinating. First of all, this says that the local church, because this is the local church here, thou art Peter, upon me, the rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church. Okay? Bible Baptist Church, local church. Gates of hell are not going to prevail against us. Why won't they prevail? Because we're attacking. We're on the offense. We're following the Great Commission, and we're going. And we're seeing souls saved. And what happens? Where's the gates of hell, Daryl? Remember that place in Jerusalem that our pastor told us about? Remember that place? It's a place where in the days 2,000 years ago, they used to sacrifice people into this pit. And it was called the gates of hell. And they would send people down the pit, supposedly where? To hell. And so when he gives the context here, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he's literally giving the theology of the gates of hell, the sacrifices that were occurring in that day at that location called the gates of hell. He said the local church is going to pull souls right out of that pit. Hell. Pivotal in salvation. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord that we belong to a church who divides the Word of God rightly so that we know these great truths. And we reverence the teaching of this book so much so that we are a tiny assembly. We've had hundreds come through here in our existence. We've had over 100 members. And because of our ministry, they're out now starting churches. But also, we've disciplined out many members. We've had visitors all the time. Why are we small? We're small because we preach the truth. But we don't make it up. We can confirm the truths that we preach by one or two witnesses, which is biblical. And what are those witnesses? Always Scripture. Rightfully dividing these doctrines. So that when we teach one doctrine, it doesn't break down another doctrine. If it breaks down another doctrine, stop. You have to study to do that. But when you have the author of Scripture living inside you, and you've studied, right? And you come before and teach, the Spirit helps you. Amen. He brings to your mind and your heart the truth so that you don't conflict, that you rightfully divide. You need to be learned, you need to be filled with the Spirit, and you need to truly desire to honor God. And that's what us men do when we come up here and we teach before the assembly. We come up with a fear of the Lord. We're afraid. We want to make sure we honor God. How do you honor God? by handling this rightfully. I always tell my brothers and sisters, if you ever have a problem with me, I'm ready to talk. Bring this. Because whatever we decide this says, we'll agree on. And we'll always walk together in that. All right, a little off topic there. Okay, so Hades, let's see here. Hades is a place, yes, departed souls. We looked at Matthew 16. And now Revelation 1:18. I have a reference there. Revelation 1:18. Now for me with the gift of prophecy, I always have to rein in myself on rabbit trails. But for teaching, which our pastor has, just amazing how he, in such an organized fashion, teaches and keeps it all in order. Really, we're very blessed. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And so the Lord Jesus Christ shows us that basically he's given the local church, which the seven churches come up in chapter 2, he has given those keys of hell and death to them. And they can go out and they can pull out souls from the gates of hell. It's really what that's teaching. Also, the Hebrew, Greek word Gehenna, It is of Hebrew origin. It means valley of the son of Hinnom, Gehenna or Gehenom. It's a valley of Jerusalem. And it's used figuratively as the name for a place or state of everlasting punishment. This is the Greek word Gehenna. I think I'm mispronouncing that, but that's what it looks like in the English. It is translated into the word hell 9 times in the New Testament. It occurs also in Matthew 10:28. We'll turn over there, Matthew 10:28. Once again, Matthew 10:28 says, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, I'm in the wrong one here, 10:28. I'm in the wrong one. Hold on, 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so, this shows us that our soul, body, in hell, they're one and the same. There's no difference. There's no separation. There's only theology on how you get there. Timing, timelines. Millennial kingdom for the Old Testament saint, where he'll finally be reunited with his body at that very beginning of the millennial kingdom. We'll see the pouring out of the Spirit once again, second time. Second time, Ryan? Third time. Second time. Second time pouring out of the Spirit. We'll see for us a rapture. For us, today could be that day. We'll be put back together, I believe, with our 30-year-old body. I liked my 30-year-old body. It was after 30 that things really started to change. Well, my wife never saw that part of me. Okay. So we have Matthew 28. It appears in Luke 12:5. It also is called hellfire. It appears in 5:22 and 18:9. It also is the word Tartarus. I'm going to finish up here and we can go on break. But the word Tartarus is also a Greek word used for its translation for hell. It is the deepest abyss of Hades. Tartarus is the deepest of deep. It's the deepest abyss of Hades. To incarcerate in eternal torment is its meaning, and it's to cast down to hell in its translation. It appears in 2 Peter 2:4, and it's the word Tartarus. So, what will happen is this. These are the breakdowns, non-exhaustive, of the word hell some of the other words that are used to translate these Hebrew and Greek words. And we won't go back into this, but now we're going to start to talk about theology. We'll get into what and where is hell. We'll go into those verses that point exactly where it is. We'll get into how it relates to the cross. We'll get into the second death. We'll get into the implications. Also the sting of death, how the Lord took the sting away. And also we'll get into the timing of the Lord. When exactly did he go to hell? And when did he take souls captive and take them up to heaven with him? We'll talk about the angels, the third of the angels that fell with and go into the bottomless pit. We'll talk about the darkening of the sun and how hell opens up her doors. And there will be those who will see that. So hell is an exhaustive, exhaustive study. One last thing I want to share with you, and that is this track on hell. I've hung on to this forever because I liked it, but I don't know where it is. But it has its title is Five Truths Everyone Should Know About Hell. And truth number one, hell is real. Truth number two, hell is a place of punishment. Truth number three, hell is a place of torment. Truth number four, hell is forever. And truth number five, I like this. Hell is optional. Isn't that good? So we'll get into all of this. And next Sunday is my next day that I get to do this with you. And we'll just take a look at some theology around hell. And I look forward to it. Thank you for your time today, and we'll go ahead on break. Lord, we're thankful for Bible Baptist Church. We're thankful for the blessing that this assembly is to each individual member of this church. Lord, this is your perfect institution that you designed to sanctify us and to make us more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faithfulness here at Bible Baptist Church is integral in our growth as a Christian and our faithfulness, so that we might bring honor and glory unto your great Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today, services in general, pray for Ryan, I pray for Daryl, as they get ready to present your truths, Lord, that you ultimately are glorified by the submission of us following your will, just as your Son did. And we'll just look forward to fellowship and songs and just worship this day to glorify thee. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.